Well, baby Jax is here. Good to see everybody this morning. You know, I think about, before we contemplate, Kathy puts us in a contemplation mode just to get ready for the sermon and to pray and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. Because Rachel, number two, the Bible says if you ask him to forgive your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and we have a good God like that. But you think about this, Glenda. If you watch the news, you think about the world that we live in today. Thank God this is not our home. And if you think about this, if somebody is not a Christian, this is the best heaven they get. And you just think about that. I mean, you think about, you just could watch the news or read the papers and you see what's going on in this world. Thank God we got a heavenly home. Amen. And the Bible says that, could you believe this? A mansion. Mansion. I remember when I was in prison, I used to say, when I got saved, I turned around and said, Lord, as long as I'm in heaven, I'll go in a cell. I'm used to being in a cell anyway. So, but they, you like that, huh, Ron? And we get a mansion. Let's stand. Let's entreat the Lord as we come before him this morning. You're a good God, Lord, better than we all deserve. We're thankful for you do, Lord. We always pray that you would stay the plague. We know that you have a purpose in everything. I ask, Lord, this morning that just if we can not empty our minds. We don't want that. We want to worship with our minds. But just to kind of just take the world away in our hearts and our minds this morning. Just leave it on the side. Put it in your watch pocket and take it out later. But this is a time of contemplation, meditation before the Lord, coming before the Lord of the universe who spoke things into existence. There is no other king. He is the only king. And he is worthy of our praise, as the song said. So we want to be thankful for who you are and thankful, Lord, that you even would even think about recognizing us and saving us for a salvation that we don't deserve, but a salvation that you give freely for all those who believe. With that, I'd like to say, in Jesus' name, let's all of us say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's see if we can do this now. Okay. Thank you. No, I'm like, take some clapping, right? Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, here's let me say this. Wednesday night Bible study, we'll be back again for Wednesday night, so praise the Lord for that. Last week we had a business meeting. I like to change those to Tuesday, right, Miss Glinda? Okay, how about a quiz to start things off? No multiple choice either. How many sermons are in the book of Deuteronomy? That's really a hard question. Six. So you got six sermons, and you got, let me see, I'm pretty sure it's got, let me see how many chapters. It's got a lot of chapters. 34, right? Am I right? 34? So you got six sermons. Who's the preacher? Moses. Good job. See that? I'm proud of you guys. Now you know. You can use it. You're writing it down, right, Devon? See, Devon will get somebody on that. Okay, Deuteronomy 4, 9 through 14. Pay attention to these scriptures. This is, just pay attention, and we'll kind of expound on them if we can. Starting in the 9th verse, in the 4th division of Deuteronomy, only, Moses speaking, give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and who? And your grandsons. Remember, think about this word, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear or reverence me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may what? Teach their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of his words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So he declared to you his covenant. First time covenant is mentioned here in the Bible, and we know that's going to take on a long jurisdiction down the road. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. Good. Last verse. The Lord commanded me, Moses, at that time to teach you, the people, statutes and judgments that you might perform them in the land where you're going over to possess it. This is the reading from the word of the Lord. Now, this section deals with what? Reflection, right? You see the word reflection. Reflect back. Putting into remembrance the past history of how God dealt with the wilderness wanderers. It's been 40 years since the start of the wilderness wanderings, and they need to etch in their mind, hear this, the historical events that happened. You need to think back, Rachel number two, right? But we've mentioned today ad nauseum, the culture today wants to debunk and do away with history. Right? They don't want history. They just want to move forward. They want to cancel history. But here the authors are saying, remember back. Remember, and not only that, remember back and what? Teach it to your what? Children and your grandsons. So history is important. So when you see the culture, Johnny Boy, today, say, well, we need to move forward. Forget about history. Let's knock down whatever it is. The Bible is clear. Miss Carolyn, we need to remember our biblical history. Verse 9, it depicts what your eyes have seen. Do not let them depart from your heart. What your eyes have seen, don't let them depart in your heart. If Moses was here today, he'd say, take these things and what? Put them in your watch pocket. Right? I'm just getting a little hip. Right? But he's saying, don't let them depart. Right? The reason being is so we can be witnesses. So we can tell our families. Isn't it hard? So I think about this. For me, families are the hardest people to witness to. They, for some reason, you just pray. When we witness to them, it's just hard. I don't know what it is. So we pray for somebody to bring the word of God into their life. Then it says, bring the message to your who? Talk to me. Son, yes, it's sons and daughters. Here's the problem. Tony, here's the problem. We've lost connection with our own children. There's such a huge generation gap today between our children. Gay, we don't even talk their language anymore, let alone give them the gospel. And then, Miss Ashley, they got this mindset that we need to move forward. And you know what? You're just a fuddy-duddy, right? I know that's an old word, right, Kathy? Right? But I'm saying, or speak to your grandchildren. And sometimes we've lost dialogue. But that's a work of the devil. That's why listen, I'm against youth groups or things like that, but the youth got to be taught first at where? Home. And then when they come to church, we just back up what the parents have taught them. But today, we've seen it in VBS all the time. You know, the parents would use VBS for like a babysitting place. You know, not all, but the Bible says that we need to. The Bible in the New Testament says we need to bring our children up in the fear and admonition of the what? Of the Lord. So we see here an Old Testament mandate about teaching your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren. And let me tell you what else about history. A lot of us don't know our biblical history. How are we going to teach anybody else? How are we going to teach our children, right? Verses 10 and 12, we see the stark reminder of what happened when the Lord gave them the law. Fire, darkness, tempest, coming from the very heart of heaven as the Lord spoke. This is a reminder of the power and the majesty of God. The power and the majesty of God. Then in verse 13, like I mentioned, this is the first time the word covenant appears. And we know this will have many points of reference moving forward. Now, what is the point of reference here? Now we just read from 9 to 14. There's a point of reference, and the point of reference here is what? The commandments, right? That's the point of reference, right? They're written on tablets of stone, and that's the point of reference. Moses says, remember and think about, and remember, see what you learned, and pass it on. Right? That's the point. What'd you learn? The Ten Commandments. You remember you got them on the mountain, you remember, and now you keep them? Do you keep them in your watch? No. You go bring out the message. Ain't nothing changed but the zip code, right? Right? We go bring the message. That's exactly what they're saying. Here, we need to make a point here. This is something I say, Ben, I say this ad nauseum. But preachers repeat themselves because it's important. Here we see the holiness and the majesty of God. And look at how in the Old Testament, now this is important because we're going to get a point of reference when we go to Hebrews. In the Old Testament, God was a, let me say this without, don't charge me, distant in a way that Moses says, just to stay at the foot of the mountain. Don't come any closer. Because there's this holiness of God that Moses is trying to mediate. Now, Moses, Rachel, Moses 1 and 2, Moses is able to go into the presence of God, but the people have to what? Stay back. Shows you the holiness of God, the majesty of God, and the judgment of God. In that wonderful verse there, right? In verse 14, as Merrill depicts, these descriptions of covenant behavior were given to Israel through Moses to provide guidelines for life in the land they were about to possess. So these commandments that God gave the children of Israel are not, you know, is because they had to be what type of people? Who said that? Separate. Separate. This is the way you live. A monk, the Lord didn't say, go live in a tent, go be a monk. No, he says, when you go into the land, you got mandates. When you go into the world today, you have biblical mandates of how to live in this culture. Bring up the children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's different than today in people or their grandparents. You know, it's different. It's different. Because we've lost connection with our youth. And I like this because I like when the Lord says, I'm giving you how the way you need to live, but then I'm sending you to live. Right, Miss Carolyn? So, you know, it's just, it's really, really a simple message, but a stark message because a lot of us fail doing it, right? Again, it must be mentioned there's a distance between God and his people. There was a wall, so to speak, a partition that only could be entered by who? Moses, no one else. Ah, listen to this. But we know that by Christ entering into the heavenly sanctuary, this gives us a point of reference, one that the writer of Hebrews will expound when we get to our text. With that being said, let us embrace this concept of how God in Christ breaks down the wall of partition for his people. That's what Christ did on the cross. He gave you access. He gave you access to the throne. Right, Kathy? Because remember, he's our forerunner, he's our trailblazer, he leads the way as we follow him in the presence of the Almighty God, which we don't deserve. See, there was that wall there that when Moses would go up and worship, he would say, stay right there. Even the animals, sorry, Rach, but even the animals, if they'd get clipped. It was a distance. But God in Christ broke that wall down. And now we're able to enter into the presence of the King. And that's why, but listen, this is what Melva, Pop, this is where we look back on that, Tony. We look back and say, look, see what happened in Exodus? You see how there was that distance? But now, in Christ, we can enter in. Enter. I mean, this is beautiful language. This is the God we serve and a God that we don't deserve. You know, so obviously, and we're going to see, and what I like to do, let me see. So this is what we see. We see a veiled picture, veiled, right, of what we're going to see now in Hebrews. So now remember, the writer of Hebrews, this is his text. I mean, he doesn't know at that time. Well, it depends. Yes, he probably. They said that the some of Paul's writings, Peter said, were starting to become scripture. But remember, all they had was the Old Testament. Nobody wants to read the Old Testament today. But that's all, Melvin, that's all they had. That's all they had. So, with that being said, the writer of Hebrews is going to say, listen, you can walk into the presence of God right now, but remember before. Remember the holiness of God. Don't lose sight of that. Let's go to Hebrews and see what we got going here. Right? And I think we want to start, Miss Ashley, where we at, kid? 18. 12 and 18. 12th division. 18th verse. Man, Rachel, number 1 and 2, we probably got another month in Hebrews and we are done. I think that's funny. You know how many, I think we've been in Hebrews now for about 32 weeks. But I tell you what, even for me, I'll never read Hebrews again the same way that I do now. Because we, right, Ben, we learn a lot. We take our time with the scriptures so we can understand them. My plight is the next time you read Hebrews, some things kind of you can pull out of your watch pocket. Hey, you know, I know that, you know, then that's important. You know, okay. I want to start in the 18th verse, the 12th division. Now watch these references. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and to a blazing fire and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of the words which was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken, for they could not bear the command. If even a beast touches the mountain, it will be what? Stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I'm full of fear and trembling. But here it is. Remember, the word but is a huge word. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of who? Abel. Here, so the main point, Guthrie says, the main point is this highly theological section. It compares to what we've just looked at, the giving of the law, in contrast to the majesty of the new covenant. And the majesty now that we can, Rachel, enter in. We can enter in. Before we were kind of on limit, so to speak. We couldn't get in. We had to stay at the foot of the mountain. But here, the writer of Hebrews continues to show the what? Miss Ashley, the lesser to greater arguments. And here it takes a real theological yet personal application. Let's talk about that. The covenant at Sinai proved relationship. It proved relationship. But it was a let me use this analogy. I try to think of analogies, but it was relationship, but it was like, anybody have any children that were in the service, right? So let's say your son is living home, Carolyn, right? You have a relationship with your son. It's close, it's personal. When they go to the service, the relationship then becomes what? Distant. So that's my analogy. In the Old Testament, it's like you going off to the service and your relationship with your parents or your loved ones is at a distance. When they come home, Harry, then the relationship is what? Personal. And this is what happens now in the New Covenant. You're able to enter in. Why? Why? Because Jesus is our who? Our trailblazer. We can follow in now. We don't have to stay at the foot of the mountain. That's a hallelujah, right? We don't have to stay at the foot of the mountain. Now we can follow in. And this is the point of, so again, the writer of Hebrews is looking back on what? History. See, I want to talk about that. There was a relationship, but it wasn't the same. There was a gap when somebody's in the service, right? What was the gap in the Old Testament? The fire, the darkness, the gloom, the whirlwind, right? Kept them at a distance. What about the trumpet blast? Remember, that's mentioned. Words that cannot bear, verse 19. Not only could they not bear words, but if any beast would get close to the mountain, we said there would be a problem. There's a huge theological ramification with this. Don't ever, ever compare anything with the relationship and the closeness of Jesus Christ in your life. Don't compare. You know, today, people want to say there's many roads. There's, we're all going to the same place, but we're in different boats. No. Here we are speaking specifically of a relationship with the God of the universe that brings you near to Him. He breaks it. See, you know what Christ does, Devon? He breaks that partition so now you can get in. Now you can get in. Today, we see many other religions saying that there are many roads to salvation, Christ being just another way. But Christ has said He is the what? Talk to me. And you see, this is a huge word in the Greek. He's not a way. He's the way. He's the way, the only way to salvation. Try saying that today, Melva. You're an outcast. Just happens. Years ago, I said it at nauseam. You know, you can, years ago, 30, 40 years ago, I remember from my professors in school, you can have conversations with people that were not the same faith, and you guys can talk about this and that, and you can go away and say, you know, that's what you believe, fine. But no, today, if you try to bring Christianity into the picture, you're what, Rachel? Narrow-minded. That's why we're on a narrow road, right? But this is the way it is. But here we get the chance to enter in. We get the chance to enter in. Now think about the context of Hebrews. What is the writer of Hebrews concerned about? Go, who said that? Going back. In fact, you're going back soon, right, Miss Heather?
You're going to.
I'm not. Heather's going to be leaving us pretty soon. She's going Flagstaff?
Yuma?
Same thing. No, because I don't know where any of them are.
Far.
She said far. What did I say? Okay. Thank you. They already know when I need help remembering, right? So the writer of Hebrews is telling his people, be careful of going back. I know it's safe. Remember, that's the context of Hebrews, right? The context of Hebrews is we're getting some persecution. We need to go back to Judaism. So, you know, because Judaism was a religion that was tolerated by the Roman government. But when you turned around and said something different, the Roman government was all over you. They gave you a problem. So the writer of Hebrews, and we don't know of any defections, but he's still, I'm warning me first and then you. Be careful if you want to go back to something comfortable, whatever that might be. Now, you're not going to go back to, you know, sacrificing animals, but there's a lot of things that you can go back to today. And be careful, because what happens is you get so comfortable in your skin, you start saying, okay, I'm going to go back to this. You know, this is safe. It's not going to cause me a problem. And before you know it, you've went back, Tony, too far. And not only have you went back too far, you've lost your way forward. That's why the Bible is always forward-looking. And here, the writer of Hebrews is, this is the reason he's doing this. He's saying, listen, you want to go back to being at the foot of the mountain, so to speak? Right? He says, you want to go back to, that was veiled. That all pointed to this. You look back on that, right, Gay? And you say, wow. But at the end of the day, if we stood at the foot of the mountain, there's no salvation. We go in where Moses went, not because of Moses. Moses is a type of Jesus, but the only thing is Moses couldn't get his people in there. Christ gets you in. Where you are locked out, he gets you in. Because he's your trailblazer. He's your forerunner to the throne. When you enter in prayer, you go before the throne of grace, the throne of God. That's a privilege. That's a privilege. As we see in the Old Testament, you couldn't get nowhere near there. Remember the Old Testament scholars in the New Testament. Remember the Pharisees and stuff. Remember when Jesus said, he told them, you believe in Moses. But Moses spoke about me, right? Right? He says, because he wrote about me. And they must have said, this guy's crazy. But they didn't understand. This is the problem. We don't understand our scriptures today. That's the problem. We don't read enough. We don't study enough. We don't engage enough. Right, Devon? This is the problem. Those guys were Old Testament scholars and they didn't know what time it was. Now, think about this. The Old Testament was the initiation of biblical history, but now Christ brings the finished work. Right? You need the Old Testament. Not to go back to the Old Testament. You need a Judy for a point of reference. But today, if you want to forget, you'll see it in a lot of churches. God forgive me. You've seen a lot of churches. Chief, well, we don't read the Old Testament. We're a New Testament church. What does that mean? Well, what are they? They didn't have a New Testament. We need point of reference. We need to go back to, we stand on something. We stand on solid ground. You know, we're not just floating and making stuff up as we go. That's the culture, Pam. They just make stuff up as they go. Forget about the past. We don't want nothing to do with the past. That's a trick of the enemy. Our past is important, Cindy. It's hugely important. The Old Testament, like I says, was the initiation, but now Christ brings the finished work. It's a picture of what? Give me the words. Verse 22 is grace over law. Miss Ashley, lesser to greater. The lesser, the law. The greater, what? Grace. By grace you have been what? By law you've been what? No. By grace you've been what? Saved. Now look what happens in, I think it's verse 22. Let me make sure. Yeah, look at this. But you have come to Mount Zion. You have come. I have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. So this is the gathering, the church, angels, which is called the New Jerusalem, passing from the old covenant into the new, embodied in Christ. This is a message for the ages. See, we don't, you know what it is? This is, first of all, this is how America is. We think we got everything coming. You know it. As soon as, you know, we you know, our car gets 80, that we want another car. We want another house. We just think we got everything coming. We don't realize that everything we have is a gift from the living God. Everything. Every penny you have in your pocket is a gift from the living God. And we don't realize that enough. We just go on our merry way and eat, drink, and be merry. And today you live, tomorrow. Be careful of that. We got to put we have to remember. Peter, we're in 2 Peter in Bible study. Always Peter on his deathbed. Put in remembrance. Remember, remember. Remember that song, Remember. But I'm saying you got to remember. You got to remember, the past is important. Our biblical history is where we lie. That's our roots. That's our roots. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is going back to, what we studied in the book of Exodus. In the book of Deuteronomy. Let me see. So, how do we pass from the old covenant into the new? Christ is the mediator. He enacts the new covenant, opening up a highway, so to speak, for God's people to establish a new relationship with him. I got that from the NET Bible, right? This was all so look in the Old Testament, Johnny Boy, it was veiled. This is a veil, right? There was a veil. It was masked. It was good, Miss Ashley, but it wasn't the best. See, here's the problem. I've said this. Here's the problem. Satan always supplements the good for the best. Always. You got to be careful. We love our family members. They're good. If they keep you from the gospel, you got a problem. Because they're not the best. And we love our kids. But if they keep us from the gospel... And that's what Satan does. He doesn't come and scare. He comes as an angel of what? Light. You know, he's not coming with a pitchfork. No. Ideologies, culture. People don't understand. He attacks the culture. He attacks ideologies. And we know, what do we call that, Miss Heather? Cognitive contamination. That's important. Remember, Carolyn? You know, the ideas, they catch on like colds. Before you know it, Mike, it's new ideas and new things. And then they got to come up with another idea. Then, Pam, when that goes, they come up with another idea. That's just the way the culture works. You know, I think about this. Listen, we let our hair down here. That's an old Italian term, really, for just talking. You know, we let our hair down. Listen, when did you ever think in your lifetime, did you see what happened in that building in Washington? Where would you ever think of that happening? I mean, how fast, how quick? And now it's normality. I mean, the stuff like this happens now every day. You don't know what you're going to, when you turn on, you don't know what's going to happen. How fast does that happen? Ron, you've never seen things like that in your day. But now, it's kind of, you don't know what's going to happen if you turn on the news, Miss Ashley. Gene, you never know. I heard people say, I don't watch the news. You need to watch the news. You need to know what's going on. You know, but it's just a different, and this is, if you're a Christian, when you look at that stuff, you pray for them, but you say, hallelujah, this is not my home. And if you are not truly a Christian, because remember, there's something in this text, there's two words here. Going back to the Old Testament is more ritualistic. See, there's a difference between ritualism and relationship, right? And a lot of people come to church like they're still in the old covenant by ritualistic. They're here because it's a ritual. It's Sunday, and I got to go to church, but there's no relationship. See, that's our hermeneutic. That's how we apply that text to ourselves. See, if we don't go back to sacrificing animals, Ron, because if Ron sacrifices an animal, we're going to eat it. But here's our hermeneutic on that. That means taking the original text and bringing it into today. Ours is, what are we going back to? Ritualism? Is this just because it's Sunday, I'm here? Or relationship? That's a tough play, right? That's a good, I believe, a good analogy. The Hebrew Christians were struggling culturally. They figure if we could serve God in a safe way, even at a distance. See, when you go back into the culture, you can serve God at a distance. You can serve that, and that will be more ritual. I'm going to church. I'm there on Sunday. That's ritualism. You got to go to church because you have a relationship with the King. And you want to hear his word. And you want to fellowship with the people of God. Because that's where you live, Melva. That's where you live. Or else we're just coming in here in a ritualistic fast. And we're just coming to the foot of the mountain. That's all we're doing. No more. And that's us. We don't like to get involved. Keep us on the foot. Be careful if we're staying on the foot of the mountain, Nikki. Be careful. All of us. That's what we like. We're safe. We want to be safe. We like to be in our safe harbors. That's why Jesus says he is the anchor of our soul. If we stay in Christ, we are safe. See, he's the anchor of our soul. But we want safety in all the wrong places, so to speak. The Hebrew Christians were struggling. They figured we can be safe. At a distance, and then we would be what? Accepted by the culture. See, that's what this is about. See, ain't nothing changed. This is so apropos for today. You know, we want to go back and be accepted by the culture. We all want to get along. But then you can't even tell, Cindy, you can't tell apart Christians or pagans. You can't. They live the same way. They do the same things. I'm not saying you can't have fun. The reason that Carolyn, Harry, Jan, the reason that they're at the foot of the mountain is because they got to learn the law before God releases them into the culture so they can be a set apart people. Ain't nothing changed for us. Really. Notice how this stuff, Devon, this stuff lines right up, right? And you can't make that up in a bet. We must be careful. The culture is not our friend. And the Old Testament text, that's why the Old Testament text pointed to a forerunner, someone who would go before us, making a permanent way in, not in the distance. This is what this text is about. We have a history. A solid biblical history. See, today, they don't have no history. That's why they want to give up. The only history there really is biblical history. That's all there is. That's the only history. See, that's what people don't get. That's why they want to give up history. Because all of it's biblical. All of it is ordained by God. He's the one who spoke the world into existence. It's his world. Don't forget it. When you want to just forget about the past, you really want to forget about God. He's involved in history. And that's my point of reference this morning. I'm letting you know he is part of history. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Here's a question. And this is a good, all of us, me first. Is Christ at a distance in our life? That's the practical question. Is Christ just a distant figure in our life? making church a mere ritual. For the Hebrew Christians, this was not an option, nor it is for us. We must never supplement, Miss Ashley, we use our right greater to less. We never should supplement the good for the best. Now, I got this here. We're not going back to the Old Testament system, but we can fall back into our worldly ways and grieve the Spirit. Now, even if you're a Christian, even if you're, listen, if you are living, you know, Luther says it's what dog you feed. Listen, if you got the Spirit of God, you can quench the Spirit. Carolyn, you can quench the Spirit. You can be a miserable Christian. See when you don't read your word, you don't pray. See how you start living. You become culturized. Now, if you're saved, you're saved. That's not my point. But you can be a miserable Christian. I'm not talking about miserable, you know, you're miserable, but you're miserable inside. Because it's not gonna jive. Right, Kathy Lee? It's not gonna mix. And before you know it, we grieve the Spirit so much that we don't recognize the Spirit again. And these are serious things. And then, what's the dichotomy? The problem with that is, are you really a Christian? Then that's the other play. Right, Heather? I mean, how many times you hear, and I don't know where this word came from, but backsliding, it's not in the Bible, but you'll see people say, oh, I'm backsliding. Well, if you know you're backsliding, why you continue to backslide? You ever noticed, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm backsliding. Oh, yeah? Well, that's great. Well, I'll get back. Tomorrow's not promised for anybody. Be careful, Ron, to stay at the foot of the mountain. That's our problem. We want to stay at the foot of the mountain. We can go in. It's been paved. The forerunner, the trailblazer. We want to stay in the foot. You know why, Gene? It's safe. Safe. I like staying outside. Imagine if Christ thought that, Devon. Imagine if Jesus says, I'm just going to stay outside and leave them to themselves. I'm going to leave them all in Adam. I'm not entering in. And if I can't enter in, Glinda can't enter in. I'm going to stay at the foot because he doesn't do that. He enters in for you, for me. Right, Miss Rachel, number two? I mean, he goes in before us. He's our forerunner. He's our trailblazer. And he breaks down the wall. When that cross was broken down, and you read in the New Testament that there was a crack in the veil, that veil was this thick. And it was cracked. That's our entrance. Moses couldn't do that. But Moses was a picture of that. The new thing today in church, we don't read the old. The Old Testament, be careful of that. Look at the point of reference we have. You know, so people say, well, we don't go back to the Old Testament. Well, you may not go back to the Old Testament, but you can go back to where it's safe. We, Nikki, you might have a title. We want to stay at the foot of the mountain all the time. But that way's been paved for us, Mr. Vaughn. Praise the Lord, right? So we need to be careful. We don't want our freedom in Christ to be an occasion for the what? For the flesh. Who said yes? Read yes. Good. It's too easy to compromise today. There's too many areas, S, plural, triple Tony. There's too many areas of compromise. Too many. All of it is couched, veiled in religion. We got to be careful. Verse 23 says, we are made perfect in Christ, as Guthrie depicts. This is not our work, but the work of Christ and what he's accomplished on the cross for his people. And then it says what? We got to be careful not to what? Shrink back. Be careful. This is the writer of Hebrews is unbelievable. He takes the Old Testament text and he applies it right to Christianity. You know what he says? You want to stay at the foot of the mountain? You want to go back? Let the buyer beware. You want to stay at the foot of the mountain? I want to stay at the foot of the mountain. Let the buyer beware. Ain't nothing changed but the zip code. Really? A lot of us feel comfortable at the foot of the mountain. We don't want to go in, and it's been paved. It's been opened for us. That's the best. We don't have to go in. Melva, we don't have to go in with a sledgehammer and break down the wall. Moses says, be careful. Stay at the foot of the mountain. And that was the same. Well, how did, why? They can't get in. There was tempest and fire and we're in because of what he did on the cross. He took the sin and death of his people and what he did on the cross. And the Bible says the wall of partition cracked. He opened it up for us. And we still want to stay at the foot of the mountain. That's we live comfortably there, Miss Carolyn. Don't you see? Ron, that's our area. That's our neighborhood. Moses says, be careful. Christ says, come. Come on in. And this is what we learned this morning. So my encouragement to you is you have a way in that you never had before. Don't take advantage of that. Don't take advantage of that. This is high theology. The work of Christ on the cross has huge ramifications in this world. Even though the world does not see the cross of Christ to be crucial, it is crucial. All of history, as we know it, will either stand or fall by the way of the cross. And remember, spiritual perception is important. How do you understand this? Come on, Heather. How do you understand this stuff? If you have the who? God, the Holy Spirit. Don't charge me, I'm going to say this. This is not for everybody. This is not one come, one all. This is for God's special people, his chosen people. Now, we don't know who they are. We got to preach the gospel to everybody, right, Glenda? We don't know. God's got a people. We don't know who they are. Miss Carolyn, we don't know. Did you say a remnant? A remnant. You know what the Gospel of Luke says? It's a micro flock. Micro. A remnant. This is not one size fits all. This is for the people of God only. Yeah, it's a remnant. Carolyn's right. It's a small, you know, just the way it is. Oh, that's not fair. Don't start with that's not fair. We can't say what's fair. You ask me what's fair. I want to eat macaroni every night. I'm not getting macaroni every night. Right, Rach? No. I was bargaining with my wife for macaroni on Thanksgiving. She will not give it to me. To give me stuffing. What the heck is that? Sorry, Rach. I might not get no macaroni today. Never mind. What are we eating for dinner? Stuffing. Remember this. You need to know this. A righteous judge can only do what's right. He's going to send people to hell because he has to. If you stay at the foot of the mountain, that's a bad spot to be, man. I'm not judging salvation, but that's a bad place. You don't want to die at the foot of the mountain. That's a bad place to be. It just is. We are now, verse 23, we are now the church of the firstborn following our Savior, who is the birth. Firstborn from where? He's the firstborn from where? The dead. He again has paved the way for us into the heavenly Jerusalem. Right? The heavenly Jerusalem. Listen, I was talking about spiritual perception too. God's people see what the world does not see. Look, people are enrolled. Look at verse 23. Where's the enrollment? Is it a verse? Enrolled in where? In heaven. Verse 23. You listen, do you understand that? If you're a Christian, you're enrolled in heaven. That's why people say, well, I don't like reading genealogy. You better be in that genealogy. Right? People, I don't like reading genealogy. Yeah, if your name is in it, you'd like to read it. Mike, you're enrolled in heaven. You'd like to, you'd start from Abraham. When do I get to Mike Johnson? You'd be reading them. The Bible says you're enrolled in heaven. Think about it. You're on a heavenly ledger. I mean, we don't think enough about that, Devon. We worry about macaroni. I talked about spiritual perception, right? The Bible says the word of the cross is what? Who said that? Foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. This is spiritual perception. The writer of Hebrews is saying, be careful staying at the foot of the mountain, Miss Ashley. It's comfortable there. It's nice. We can pal around with the culture. We can go out and, well, you know, it's okay. I'm a Christian. I said a prayer 13 years ago. I'm okay. Do you read your Bible? No, not really. I don't need it. I don't understand it anyway. I understand that I'm saved, but I don't understand the Bible. That makes sense. I don't understand that. The other part of this verse 23 that is vitally important is God's people are enrolled, like I said, our name in the records, the heavenly ledger. Now, we're going to look at this language in a second. We're going to close in that, talking about this new Jerusalem. But look at verse 24. Now, I want you to understand this. This is a tough verse. So let's play with this verse a little bit. And to Jesus, to who? Verse 24, the mediator of a new covenant, and sprinkled and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. This is a tough verse. This is a tough verse right now. Watch this. Over against the blood of Abel's blood, when it was spilled, it spoke of justice and judgment on Cain. But here the blood of Christ speaks of redemption and forgiveness in the line of Christ. You see the difference? The blood of Abel spoke justice and wrath on Cain. But the blood of Christ puts you in redemption and forgiveness. What a picture. What a picture. I mean, listen, the blood of Abel was a serious murder. And it spoke about justice and judgment on Cain. But the blood of Christ gives you, Glinda, a way in. Forgiveness and redemption. But think about it. Where's our teaching from? The blood of Abel, righteous Abel. See that blood? That blood spoke of justice and judgment. That's the blood you deserve. Me too. We deserve that, justice and judgment, but we get forgiveness and redemption with the blood of Christ. Good stuff, man. You can't make this. I mean, this is great stuff. But if we don't, Tony, if we don't understand our Old Testament, it means nothing. We look at that and say, what does that mean? Blood of what? Abel? I don't get that. You get it now, right? Sure we do. We know the blood. You know, the blood of Abel is the blood that brought what? Justice and judgment on Cain. the blood of Christ, he put the justice and judgment on himself for you. The Bible depicts the road is what? Run? Narrow. And here's the thing. Few what? Find it. Carolyn? Few find it. Remnant. Few. Oh, those Christians are narrow-minded. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord we're narrow-minded. You got to widen, you know, you got to get on the wide road. Not me. Not you. This isn't our home, brothers and sisters. Not our home. Don't get too comfortable here. The way it's going, who knows? I mean, it's crazy. The road is narrow, few find it. The people of this world, I said the people of this world think this thinking is narrow-minded, right? They're right. The road is narrow, right? I mean, so we are narrow-minded. What we see here in a theological nutshell is, do we serve God? Here's a challenge, Nikki. Do we serve God ritualistically or relationally? Are we going to go back to the foot of the mountain? And the problem is, we're at the foot of the mountain and the door's open and we want to stay at the foot of the mountain. Comfortable. Now Judy's saying no. You want in, right, Judy? You got to go in. It's open, free. He did it for you. He's not like Moses. Stay back. Christ is saying, come in. Right? Moses, stay back. Come in. You know, so we look at this, and when we look at the text like this, it really speaks large volumes. It really does. I could see Tony's got 13 questions coming up on Wednesday night Bible study. That's why we never get through the Bible studies, right, Tony? We've been staying there till 8 o'clock. Poor Dan, but Dan Pierre hangs right with us. How many times has Dan closed his Bible and opened it on Wednesday nights, right, Dan? Not because Dan's interested. Dan is a good learner, and he knows his Word of God. But he just doesn't know any. So Dan just leaves his Bible open. Right, Dan? You wait till... We've been there now till sometimes 8 o'clock. Right, Miss Ashley? No shame in our game, right? We don't care. You like that one? No shame in our game? See, we're pretty hip too, right, Ashley? What did that Miss Ashley say the other day? She said something I forgot. She has a lot of hip words, Miss Ashley. I think she said it on the radio, too. What was it, Miss Ashley? Oh, yeah, her jam. I'm saying, what is it? She don't mean peanut butter and jam, right? She was saying on the radio, I just cracked up, right? She was my jam. Is there in our lives deception or redemption? These are thoughts in our lives evaluating our hearts and our minds and our motives. The question is, here's the deal, Johnny boy, tough stuff. Are we truly changed or we're just checking boxes off? Huh? Got my Sunday in, went to church, heard that crazy man again from New York. Check. Hope next week don't come too soon. In fact, maybe I'll mix that week. Check, right, check. That's deception. Redemption is, even though he's got a crazy accent, he talks too long, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to church. The access or the admission that we have into the heavenly temple should never be taken lightly. We must stand in awe and reverence of our King. Not everyone, Miss Carolyn, will have this, Miss Jan, not everyone will have this access. What's the name of it, Rachel? What's that Is it a credit card company membership or with privileges? Or what is that? No, nobody knows. Remember that? Who's it? What is it? Member? One of the credit cards or something? Go to Revelation 21. Let's close. Forget about my credit card quips. So we're speaking about the New Jerusalem. So I just want to read a couple of verses here and we'll close it out. Now, this is the new heaven and the new earth, right? This is the New Jerusalem. What I like about the New Jerusalem, you know, people say, well, you know, what am I going to do in heaven? I'm going to just fly around? And no, you're not. You're going to be living every day, never to get old, Devon. You won't need no makeup. We don't need no tummy tucks. We're not going to be on, we don't have to be on any diets. How do you know? How do you know? Now you know calories, right? She just ruined my whole day, man. Nope, but she might be right. I guess we all got to be vegetarians or something, right? No, who said no? Ron, what are we going to do? Let's start barbecuing now before we go home. New Jerusalem. Notice what it says. Verse 22. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the who? The Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory, the honor of the nations into it. Now here it is. And nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written, there's that ledger, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Miss Ashley, this is the ultimate greater to lesser argument, but it's an eternal greater to lesser argument. Nothing unclean will ever enter into God's everlasting kingdom, the New Jerusalem. Verse 21. This is a stark reminder that hell is a real place. But notice what it says. Look at the people. Nothing unclean. No one who practices abomination and lying. Lying. How's that? Right? Notice the contrast, too, between what? Darkness and light. It's a stark contrast. We saw these similar contrasts between ritualism and relationship. Darkness is ritualism. Light is relationship because he is the what of the world. He's the light of the world. But again, it's only the ones, this is my Miss Nikki, it's only the ones that are on the heavenly ledger. The Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is written in the Lamb's, that's it. Now, those boxes we want checked, right? God forgive me. If Michael's at the door, and what we say, like Michael's the guy at the door, right? What's your name? Ross? Check. Come on in, kid. What's your name? Pete? Wrong neighborhood. Wrong neighborhood. And there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We want to be on that heavenly ledger. The writer of Hebrews, as all good sound preachers, are always concerned about the sway of the world. Its ideologies are ever present. Deception, as mentioned, is what? Deception is, remember, crouching at the door. And deception is at the foot of the mountain. Notice the Bible says sin is crouching at the door. Well, this pastor is telling you, let me say it rightly. This pastor is telling you, deception is at the foot of the mountain. We need to move in, Rachel, number two. We got to get in. Don't say, well, I like it here. Well, we all do. Melville, we don't like to, you know, we want to all stay at the foot of the mountain. That's the problem. Let us be reminded, the Bible depicts, as we have mentioned, that we must enter in through the narrow gate. Few find it. The five foolish virgins thought they were okay. But the door was what? Closed. As we ponder these eternal truths, let us be mindful of the seriousness of the gospel and what is at stake. And by God's grace, that those who are being saved is only by the power of who? God. Only by the power of God. You know, there's a song I'm not going to sing, but I was thinking about this. I got it just a little quip here. It says, I'm like a creature who's living underground. I squint at the light, pushing up the dirt with my hands, trying to get into the light. I'm tired tonight. I need to find some kind of love. I need some kind of love. And I say, we all do, and that's only in Christ. That's where the light is. Here's the theological question, Gene. Are you in church as a ritual, or are you in church because you have a relationship? That's the deal. Miss Kathy Lee said, man, Pastor, you could have said that and we could have been home an hour ago. Right? Heather's saying no. Maybe you'll find a shorter-winded preacher when you go to, where's it again? Yuma? Yuma. Sounds like a place in Arizona, right? Yuma. Let us be careful that we don't stay at the foot of the mountain. Tony? We're comfortable there. Devon, we could go in because our forerunner went in for us. He's our trailblazer. That's what I want you to remember. Pam, be careful. We all like to stay at the foot of the mountain. We like comfortability. We don't want to enter in. Don't you understand? He's saying what? Come, all you heavy laden. I will give you rest. Ron, we got to go in, buddy. Forget about Ohio State. Right in. Let's stand. Dear Lord, we love you and honor you and thank you, Father, that you blaze the trail for us, that you are the forerunner, that you have went in before us, because really, you could have left us at the foot of the mountain, but you let us in. And then the best is you let us in and we still want to stay at the foot of the mountain. Let us realize today as we go home and enjoy our meals and things like that, let us realize that we don't need to stay at the foot of the mountain, even though it's comfortable. We need to go in. We need to be in the heavenly throne. We need to be before the throne of grace where that door's been opened and paved for us. Let us realize that. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you did. We love you for what you did. We don't deserve what you did. And like Miss Carolyn says, it's only a remnant. Fear not little flock. Fear not micro flock. That's the word. Fear not little flock. Micro. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for your people. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.